So part of the reason why this is so beautiful, specifically at this time, and I just, some of you missed it, I wanted to thank all those that were involved in originating this year, and I'm just nervous about leaving someone out because I know it was a lot of people's ideas, so I don't want to specifically list them, but it really is a tremendous yasher koach to all of you for coming out here tonight and just being mevakshim. I know this is a tremendous crowd, and I know that there was even a chasana tonight, so yasher koach to each and every one of you. But specifically learning halacha here is really something beautiful. Because the Gemara tells us in Brachas that after the Churban HaMikdash happened, so the Rabbanu Shel Olam didn't have anywhere to go. The Shechina was flying around, and the Shechina couldn't find a home to rest itself in. We're in the Golus, where is he going to be? So the Gemara tells us there's one peaceful area that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds an ability to rest his Shechina. And that's in Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. The Gemara says, those Dalet Amos, those areas that you build to try to make sure to follow Halacha appropriately, that is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashras HaShechina in the Galus, in the time of the exile. So I don't know a better time to start learning specifically Halacha than after Churban HaMikdash, which is a beautiful Nechama both for us and a Nechama for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're Mevakshim and that we're people that want to follow Halacha appropriately, and we'll try to learn as best as possible to try to gain knowledge in these areas of Halacha. But it's specifically appropriate for this for a woman's Halacha, because at the end of the day, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to learn a lot with the men, and we have these opportunities, but if you ask me honestly, where is the halacha going to happen, and who are the people that really are going to take care of the halacha? It's going to happen with all of you, and it's really beautiful that you all want to make sure that everything is going to be done appropriately in the areas of Hilchos Shabbos, in the areas of Hilchos Kashrus, and I would love to talk about it in the areas of Hilchos Taharas Mishpacha. We could talk about we could have many different series on different ideas. We decided to start in Hilchos Shabbos. But I think this is the kavana. This was the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He gave over the Torah, when He gave over the list of halachos. So if you look carefully in the Torah in Parshas Yisro, He didn't go straight to the men. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first says, "Ko somru lebeis Yaakov, usagid lebnei Yisrael." The first thing that happens at Maimed Har Sinai, at Matan Torah, is wait a second. I got a lot of laws over here. I got a lot of things that are going to be going on in the kitchen, that are going to be going on in the house, that are going to be going on, that the women are going to be more responsible, I would say, in some ways than the men. So I got to speak to the woman first. Because the woman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, is the anchor of the household, of whether or not Yiddishkeit will succeed in the household. The woman is the one that's going to facilitate following halacha in the household, and the children that are going to be banum, ubnei banum, oskim, Torah mitzvahs, children that are following Torah mitzvahs, halacha, it's true that the father is mechanech and the father brings him to shul, but primarily, in those beginning years, it's all about he's watching his mother, what his mother's involved with, and how his mother is taken care of. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't get the ball rolling. I can't even begin a Matan Torah unless I start with Kosoma Lebeis Yaakov. Unless I have the women that are going to be involved in following Torah mitzvahs, involved in following halacha appropriately. So this is really a beautiful example of a nechama for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yasher koach to each and every one of you. So I want to start Hilchos Shabbos in a little bit of an innovative way. A lot of Hilchos Shabbos primarily is about the malachos, about action, about activity, about creativity, what they did in construction of the Mishkan. When we talk about the malachos and when we're going to deal with all the different malachos and hopefully mostly the relevant malachos, so that's always assuming that you're going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. However, Chazal also created a new category of halacha that unfortunately is not always recognized. You know, my mother just sent me an article that she got, that there were so many famous people throughout Jewish history that were Shabbos guys in people's homes. Obama was a Shabbos guy.
Cuomo was a Shabbos guy. Elvis Presley was a Shabbos guy. And they're all speaking about back in Queens and Williamsburg where we grew up and we helped the Jews. And every Friday night they would bring us in, and it was like a Shabbos. There was the minig. You know, first you go to shul. Then you knock on the door of the Shabbos guy. We're going to need A, B, and C, and D. And then the Shabbos guy comes home with all this good food, you know, all the baked food. And like, but that creates a little bit of a misconception, because the Gemara in Shabbos says, although on a biblical level, you didn't do anything to really transgress anything, you weren't active and you weren't creative, but the Gemara says, Amira la'akim shvus, to instruct a Gentile to do something on your behalf on Shabbos, that is a rabbinic issue. That is midrabanan prohibited. And that is something, that is the basic line of our shir. Hopefully, once we finish going through all the halachas and all of the details of Amira La'akum, we can also learn when it is permitted. But the baseline, the foundation of what the Gemara says, the Gemara never says when it's permitted. The Gemara just says, shvus. Then the Rishonim learn, wait a second, this contradicts over here. Somehow there is some way that they chipped away in certain scenarios. So there were some permissibilities, but Derech Klal and the general rule is that it's going to be usher. So you can't have a shot. The whole concept of a Shabbos guy is incorrect. So the Gemara says Amira la'akum is a shvus. That's something that's usher midrabanan. The reason why it's rabbinic is because you're only speaking. You're not doing anything. You're not active. And the guy is doing it. So why is it prohibited? Why did Chazal create that prohibition? So the Rambam gives a very fascinating answer. The Rambam says it's because of the atmosphere. You know, I run an office. Half of the things that I do in the office, my secretary does for me, or some other person does for me. So you're telling me I'm not running an office? You're telling me I'm not working because someone else is doing? Of course you're working. Of course you're involved. It's the atmosphere. That's, says the Rambam, you're going to start having the same malachas being done through a Gentile, even though technically you're not being active. So then, says the Rambam, it's going to destroy the whole ambiance of Shabbos. It's going to destroy the whole nature of Shabbos. Shabbos is going to be kal be'einecho, says the Rambam, and that's not something that we want. We want a beautiful atmosphere on Shabbos. We want to make sure that the children and our families are going to recognize that on Shabbos, that our attitude on Shabbos is going to be different than we are during the week. It's a beautiful Rambam, but it doesn't really tell us so much about the details and the mechanics of Amira La'akum, when it applies and when it doesn't apply. So Rashi takes a different approach. Rashi says the reason why Amira La'akum is prohibited is because when you are involved in Amir al-Akum, so you're telling a person, you're telling a Gentile, listen, do me a favor, turn on the light for me. So what did I just say? I just said, turn on the light. Turning on the light is a malacha. That's something that's prohibited on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that not only do we have to restrict ourselves from being involved in malacha, the Gemara tells us our speech on Shabbos can't be like the way we speak during the week. Daber Dover, we learn from the Navi. You can't, Lo Tehei, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Lo Tehei Dibur Chashal Shabbos Ke Dibur Chashal Chol. Your speech should not be the same way it is in the weekday. And therefore, I can't speak about malachas. And that's the source, we'll learn another time, about Hachana, about speaking about things that I'm not allowed to do. Oh, I'm gonna do this after Shabbos, which is involving a malacha. I'm gonna build this house, and then I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna fly here, and I'm gonna go there. Says the Gemara, you can't talk like that on Shabbos. You're supposed to talk about what you're permitted to do on Shabbos. So says Rashi, very simple. That's why I can't tell the guy to do a malacha on Shabbos. That's why Amir al-Akum is shvus. Because you're violating the speech issue. Vidaber dover. You're violating the speech issue. So that's what Rashi says in one area in Shas. That's what Rashi says in Avodah Zarah. But then Rashi in Masechah Shabbos says a totally different idea. Rashi says you want to know why Chazal prohibited on a rabbinic level asking a Gentile to do a malacha on your behalf? Says Rashi, because you're not allowed to appoint an agent on your behalf. Rashi introduces a halachic concept called shlichus. Just like if I'm not able to light Hanukkah candles, so I ask someone to go to my house and light on my behalf, he's my shliach, so too in the areas of Isurim, of Averos. I can't have a Gentile work on my behalf and do something on my behalf because rabbinically we view it as if an agent, the Gemara says,
If you tell a shliach to do something on your behalf, shlucho shel adam is kemoso. The agent of an individual is like himself. So his pa'ula, his activity, his malacha, now translates and connects back to me, and it's as if on a rabbinic level, obviously not on a biblical level, but on a rabbinic level, Chazal introduced that this is considered shlichus. This is considered that he's doing on your behalf, and you now transgressive aveira for the fact that he did it. So why does Rashi contradict himself? In one area, Rashi says that the issue is the speech. In the other area, the Rashi says something more fundamental. No, it's the malacha. What he's doing is now translated and is now going to connect and link to you. It's as if you did it on a rabbinic level. So if I have the reason of shlichus, I don't need the reason of speech. And if I have the reason of speech, I don't need the reason of shlichus. So this is a very big problem. But the answer to this question now will open up to a lot of ramifications, la halacha, how to understand when is Amir al-Akum asr and when is Amir al-Akum permitted. Comes along Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Stipler, many, many gedolim that all came onto the same theory to resolve this contradiction in Rashi. Well, what happens if I can create a scenario where one of them don't exist? What happens if I can create a scenario that I ask a Gentile to do a malacha for me, but guess what? I ask my housekeeper in the house to do the malacha to light the candle for me or to turn on the lights for me before V'daber Dover was even relevant. When is Daber Dover not relevant? Daber Dover just means Shalot Tehei Dibur Chashal Shabbos K'Dibur Shachachol. Make sure you speak appropriately when? On Shabbos. So if I set it up before Shabbos, I ask her to do a malacha for me on Shabbos, great, no issue. Comes along Rashi and says, not so fast. There's another dimension to Amir al-Akum over here. There's another issue that we have to deal with, and that's shlichus. No matter when it is, no matter when the guy is doing something on your behalf, he's carrying out your shlichus. You asked him to do that. Yes, you're right. You asked him to do it on Wednesday. Okay, but when he's doing the malacha, when is it? It's on Shabbos. If it's on Shabbos, then that's going to be a problem. Or what happens if I ask the Gentile, do me a favor. I need you, after Shabbos, to drive to the airport, pick this thing up for me, and then come back, and then I have a few more chores for you. So when the guy is doing, when the Gentile is doing the malacha, there's no shlichus. It's Motzei Shabbos. There's no problem. What's the problem? Right then, there's no shlichus that he's carrying out. Yeah, but there is a problem with you telling him on Shabbos to do a malacha after Shabbos. Why? Because Rashi introduced another dimension. V'daber Dover. At the time that you asked him to do something on your behalf, that was something that was prohibited to talk about on Shabbos. So that's going to be two dimensions of the prohibition that is going to be usr. Okay? Excellent. Beautiful.
I am very hot.
Excellent. Beautiful. I couldn't have timed it better. Thank you, Anne. So,
great question.
Yeah, sure.
But also, asking a non-Jew to do something like you after Shabbos, that's the same as anyone. It's the same as asking your friend after Shabbos, can you go pick up something from the airport or whatever. That's not Jew versus non-Jew.
Right. So, but if it was only, if it, right, so that, you're right. I wouldn't be able to ask my friend to do it as well. So, but Rash, but if I would only have had the reason of shlichus, I would have thought that that's mutter.
Even though that's
it's something that you're right, that it's something that applies to both. So Rashi needed to add that in. You're right, but you're right. It would apply also to someone else as well. Yeah.
Along the lines of the temperature question.
Yeah.
If they're benefiting from all
the. Oh, okay. So we're getting way ahead of ourselves. We're going to get to there. Excellent. No, these are all. They're right on point. They're all excellent questions, but I need to build up some background to get to all these ideas. Excellent. But I was just about to get to what Ann was saying. Beautiful. So Chazal said, and the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham develop, well, what happens if I don't tell him directly? What happens if I don't say specifically? So number one, I think what you're saying is you're chipping away at the speech issue. It's not really a direct commandment. I don't even mention a malacha. So then, it's very hard for you to pin me down and say it's v'daber dover. I didn't say a malacha. So that's what's called remiza. So the post can talk about remiza, hinting. If I hint to the Gentile,
But now it gets a little bit confusing. You have to pay attention. The Poskim point out that there are two types of remiza. There's a remiza b'derech tzivoy, and there's a remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy. I can hint to a person, and I could say, like you said, it's really hot in here. And this is why when you're hiring help, whatever it is, it's very important to really give them a little bit of a faher, because whether or not this will be permitted or prohibited is really dependent on how their intuition is and how they can infer. Because you can't really trigger what, like, let's say I would set up a system and I would say, you know what? Anytime I go like this, that means I need the lights on. And anytime I go like this, that means the air conditioning should turn off, okay? So the Chayyadim talks about that. Chayyadim says, you just created a new language. So of course that's going to be Amir al-Akam. That's something that's prohibited. But if you have some hired help, or you have someone, a neighbor, that is a chacham, he chaps it. And it's not because I said to him, when I do this, when I do that. But on their own, they understand Sabbath, this, they're probably restricted, whatever it is. So then, that could be helpful. So let me go through the details, and I think I'll answer a lot of the questions, and we'll get back to you. So if I say, it's a shame that I can't shut off the light right now. That's speaking about the malacha. But what about me saying, I really can't sleep, it's too light in here. So then the Gentile, on his own, says, oh, maybe I should turn off the light. Or what if I say, this air conditioning is freezing, it's so cold. Why did you set it so cool? I wish it wouldn't be so cool right now. So then the Gentile on his own, oh, that's very nice of you, thank you. I didn't even ask you to do that. And they on their own turn it off, inferring on their own. So then that would be something that would be permitted. But if I would say on Shabbos to a hired help or someone that's there, I would say, why didn't you turn off the light last week after we finished our meal? So then I'm really inferring directly that that's what I want. That's what the poskim say. That's remiza b'derech tzivoy. It's a nice little shtick you have there, but you know that's pretty much giving. I had this situation. The alarm clock went off. I was in the Five Towns for Shabbos. My sister-in-law just had a baby. We were there for a simcha. And there was a baby nurse that was there that was helping her. And the alarm clock went off and it was making noise. So I didn't know her at all. And I didn't even know how much English she knew. And so I walked up to her and I said, and I think she thought I was like socially inept. I walked up to her and I said, the alarm clock is so loud. And she's like sitting there smiling. That's great. And she didn't get it. She didn't. But like, that was all. And the poskim say, what happens if it goes like this? I say the alarm clock is so loud. So sometimes you'll get a good question. The Gentile will ask you back, would you like me to turn it off? I can't answer yes to that. Because if I answer yes, that's tantamount to saying, oh yeah, what you just said, I am now instructing you and asking you to do. So you have to do it in a remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy. If you do a remiza shelo tzivoy, it's cold, it's really bright in here, and I wish I could fall asleep, that would be something that would permit a remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy. However, if it's said before Shabbos, then the poskim say, even if it's a remiza shelo b'derech, even if it's a remiza b'derech tzivoy, let's say on Wednesday I said, oh, why didn't you shut off the lights last week? Which on Shabbos that would not be permitted. Then that would be something that would be permitted to say during the week for Shabbos itself. Yeah.
So again, rather than that helps with the dibur issue for Rashi, but you even just hinting.
Excellent. Excellent question. So apparently, it's a good question. Apparently, Chazal. Only the truth is that Chazal really made up this shlichus. If you ask me honestly, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, there is no shlichus to a Gentile. You have to be a Jew to be a bar shliach. You have to be part of the Jewish nation. The Gemara learns out in Parshas Korach from the Parsha of Truma, Ma atem bnei bris, af shluchachem bnei bris. You have to be a ben bris. You have to be part of the Jewish nation in order to be a shliach. I cannot send a Gentile to be my shliach, to be Makadosh a woman. It won't work. It won't take effect. So Chazal introduced shlichus. So Chazal said, you know what? if it's an indirect tzivui and it doesn't look like shlichus, so then and we're chipping away, so then that would be a situation where we're not going to create it. But you're right. In theory, I could have agreed to your rationale that you're helping with the speech, but at the end of the day, the answer is that there's some disconnect. A shlichus usually needs a direct tzivui, a commandment, and since there's no commandment, so it doesn't link back to me. Yeah. It's really hot in here. So you want what? What do you want them to do?
Ah,
so we're getting. So I'm about to get to there yet. So.
But either way, let's get the light off. Can you introduce it with saying, "I'm an observant Jew. I can't do this." Like they have no idea why you say an introduction.
Give them a story.
Like, I'm an observant Jew.
I'm restricted from doing these things, and it's really cold in here. As long as I think that that's still appropriate, as long as you're not insinuating, that you're asking. As long as the key is like this. As long as that they're on their own, they're inferring that they should do it. Then I think that that's still appropriate.
So along those lines,
right.
That statement, when you're about to hire the help.
In general, meaning Shabbos in general. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, if you give... Right, excellent. I think that that's fine. If you give them a basic course,
right.
And then comes 5 weeks down the road, we're stuck in a situation, and I say, I have my play, my shtick, and I put on my show. As long as at the time that it's happening, there's a show, who cares that they have basic inversion?
Right.
If you set up a system that you should know that I'm going to wink at you and I'm going to, so then that's a problem, because then you're just now setting up a. But if you gave them a basic, you're allowed to give them basic knowledge, and then as long as at the end of the day they're inferring it, then I think that that's okay. So now let's get to something that'll yeah. Right.
But what if they pick up on it, but then they realize that you're like always asking them in kind of like a backhanded way, and then they ask you like, why do you always say it to me like that? Like, why do you always phrase it that way? And then you you tell them why you phrase it that way. So now they're aware of like why you're saying it in a weird way.
Right.
Are you allowed to then continue using that same thing?
Right. That is an excellent question. and I feel like that could really happen. It's true. You know, when. I would say to you that I think that it could still be permissible because they're not, since the whole time they were still doing it and they're not changing their behavior based on that, and they're still, if you had a person that never did it and then I said, okay, listen, Julio, this is not working out, okay? So let's go back to the basics, okay? And I can't do this, I can say, and therefore I'm going to say this, and that's going to trigger you and that's going to give you the cue. So then I think that's a problem. But if you're just, again, you're giving them Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma. You're like Anne was saying, I'm saying the basics. It's even in the world of Kashrus, I say there's these things and there's those things and there's that. And then still on their own, they're still making that inference. And there's no difference because they were making that inference before. So I don't think because you told them that that's killing your inference. You have a bracha. You have a Gentile that's close to you that has some seichel, that was able to figure it out beforehand. The fact that they have had a conversation with you during the week, I don't think that that should kill it, but that's an excellent question. So this whole story really takes an about face. And I think we're all very excited about this hinting issue because I'm giving a little latitude to it. And I think that there is situations that it can be permissible. However, it really is not what you're about to think and what you're thinking right now. And now people are smiling, but in a second they're not going to be so much smiling so much. So the problem is as follows, and this is a very, very important halacha in its own right. And this, a lot of people don't realize this. The Gemara in Beitz on Daf Chof Dalet and the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chof Aleph talks about a story that a Gentile just on his own. I never met the Gentile before. I never spoke to the Gentile. Everything that we've discussed so far has to do with Daber Dover, has to do with Amira, has to do with speech. Somehow that links it to me. Commandments, Shlichus, or you're violating the speech on Shabbos, which is a problem on its own right. Comes along the Gemara, and the Gemara says, a goy din a malacha for a Jew. You cannot get any benefit from that goy's malacha. Why? What happened? I didn't violate Amir Lakam. I didn't say anything. So the Rishonim are very bothered by this. Rashi and Tosos even have different explanations why this is problematic. So Rashi says that there's a new issue that you're not allowed to get hana from a goy's malacha on Shabbos. Rashi is a difficult issue to for another time to explain. But Tosos has a very basic idea. Tosos says, no, if you're going to get benefit from the malacha that the guy did on your behalf, it was clear that the guy did it for you, and that is the case, and we're going to see there are going to be ramifications that when it's not clear that it's done for you, so that might be permissible. If a guy did, let's take an example. I'm sitting in a dark room. A guy says, Rabbi, you look like a meshugana. Let me turn on the lights. So he turns on the lights. I can't now read a sefer in that room. I can't benefit from that light because he did a malacha specifically for me. He was passing by and he turned on the lights for me. So Tosa says, I didn't say a word to the guy. I didn't even know the guy was there. Tosa says, I can't read a sefer. I can't use the light. Why? Gzeira shema yomerlo. We make a rabbinic enactment that maybe you're going to come and tell him and now get, oh, once I start benefiting from the guy's malacha, I'm going to say, you know what? I'd like you to turn on the lights for me and I'm going to tell him explicitly and that's going to be the problem. So I don't understand something. Rabbi, you just told me that there's a permission to hint. You just told me that if I, as long as the Gentile is inferring on his own and I don't speak about the malacha, but it's a remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy, I say, the radio is loud. Or I say, it's really cold in here. Or I say, it's too light to go to sleep. And now, I didn't mention the malacha, because again, if I mention the malacha, that's a problem, even if I hint to them. But all I said was, it's light in here. And now the guy on his own says, oh, he probably can't turn off the lights, and I'm going to turn off the lights for him. And then we're good to go. But I'm not allowed to benefit, Toso says. The Gemara says, I can't even benefit. If he turns on the light on my behalf, I can't benefit from him. Even if I didn't say anything. So what? The whole story. Remiza, I presented a whole story that if you hint and you don't say things explicitly, that's going to create a permissibility. Now the Gemara is saying that even if I don't say anything, I can't get any benefit from the Gentiles' malachos. So this is very important. So comes along the poskim and they say the following distinction. There's a difference between getting direct benefit from a malacha that the Gentile was involved in, and getting indirect benefit. So therefore, the following comes out. If a Gentile sees you in a room, and the lights are off, and he turns on the light, there is direct benefit that now I can use that light to read a book and to do something that I wasn't able to do beforehand. I cannot get benefit from that light. That's usher, that's a gemara. That's accepted la'alacha. However, what happens if I get indirect benefit? Meaning, let's say they remove something. I'm not getting something brand new. I'm not getting light illumination from a new activity that the Gentile was involved with. Now I can have an indirect pleasure from this room that it now I have the ability to sleep because the lights are off. That is what's called in halacha an indirect benefit. Because you're not actually getting direct benefit from the bulb being off. I'm getting an indirect benefit that now the light's not bothering me when I go to sleep. That's something that would be permitted as long as I didn't tell him explicitly or even in a way that I referred to the malacha, a remiza b'derech tzivui. Which means as follows. Let's say I'm in a room and the light's bothering me. And I say the hint, or I don't say anything. Then the Gemara would never have said, you're not allowed to be nana from the malacha of the goy. Because you're not getting direct benefit from the goy's malacha. In a situation where the lights are off, the Shabbos clock turned off the lights, this happened at Akiva Shalom Zach. Akiva Shalom Zach was in my parents' home. And the lights turned off, someone forgot to change the Shabbos clocks. And everyone is in the room, and there are Rabbonim in the room, and it goes dark. And the Shabbos clocks, and it's at night, and it's totally dark. So I remember, the guy walks in and turns on the lights, and everyone's, oh good, Baruch Hashem. So I said to myself, wait a second. And I said, I said, wait a second, she just did a malacha for us specifically. This is a problem. We're getting direct benefit from what she did. So maybe we have to leave the room. Maybe we can't have the Shalom Zachar. Disaster. I'm going to have to end the Shalom Zachar in the middle. So I thought that it was okay. I thought that we could stay in the room. Why? Because if I wanted to read a Sefer in that room right then, that would be a problem. Because then I was able, now I'm enabling myself to get direct benefit from something I couldn't do before, and that now she now turned on the light for me. But what was I doing at a Shalom Zachar? I was sitting there, we were singing songs, and that's it. There's nothing, we weren't reading, we weren't doing anything else. There was a little light from the side, you know. So there was nothing that really, it made it more comfortable, but she didn't do anything crazy that I now was able. So I don't think that necessarily you have to leave the room if you're able to survive. Listen, if you tell me you can't survive in the room without it, so then maybe you should leave. But if all we're doing is just sitting around and talking, and now it's just, you know, a little bit more comfortable, we were able to do the activity that we did beforehand, so then one can make the case that it was permissible to stay in that room. But the second we wanted to do something that we weren't able to do beforehand, the second that we now wanted to check up a safer or do something that we weren't able to do, or if it's pitch dark and we weren't able to even get around or see the food that we wanted to eat, and now we're getting direct benefit from the Gentiles' malacha, so then that would be something that would be what Chazal were creating, were telling us that would be prohibited. So now the poskim, basically, to put it off on the table, the poskim say whenever the goy is removing something, so that's automatically going to be the indirect benefit. The goy is turning off the lights. The room is too cold. The goy is turning off the air conditioning. The guy is turning off the clock. Then I am now nene from what? From the fact that there's a room now without an alarm clock that's going off. That's indirect benefit. I'm not getting anything new, added a new creative, you know, the guy's not building anything new for me. A brand new, a direct benefit would be the guy cooked me something up. The guy, you know, built me a house. The guy turned me and illuminated the room that I wasn't able to use beforehand. That's direct benefit from a hana mechudeshes, something brand new that didn't exist beforehand. But if it's all just a removal of something that was now creating an inability to function normally, that would be a situation that will be permitted for me to get benefit from the Gentile because it's considered indirect benefit. However, all the rules that we started off still apply. That is still a malacha on Shabbos. And whether or not it's prohibited, and this is very important, whether or not it's prohibited biblically, or whether or not it's even only an Isser Derabbanan, Amir La'akum applies across the board. Amir La'akum, that's also a mistake that people make. Amir La'akum not only applies to Daraisas, Amir La'akum applies to Derabbanans. And that's why it's really important, after we finish Amir La'akum, we have to find out also what deraisas, what derabbanans are, what's included in all the categories, because there might be some ramifications in certain cases where derabbanans are lighter. But in a general rule, deraisas, derabbanans, amir al-akam applies to both. So, if I ask them, please turn off the light, please turn off the air conditioning, even though the hana, the benefit, will be indirect because they're removing something that existed prior, that's absolutely prohibited. I just spoke. I just insinuated with referring to the malacha, that's something that's usser. However, if I hint in an indirect fashion, so now you're worried, wait a second, why don't I have the second issue of getting positive benefit from the Gentiles' malacha? No, you're not getting direct positive benefit. You're getting indirect positive benefit whenever he's removing something, whenever it's going to be indirect. So that is an important distinction. But in general, we should keep in mind, in theory, if there is direct benefit, that could be benefit that you can enjoy, that is something that could be usher even without asking a Gentile. However, there might be exceptions to that, and I'll bail to that in a second. If there are questions about the exceptions when the benefit doesn't apply, we'll get to that in a second, but yeah.
So the question is, if one is unable to sleep and is extremely uncomfortable mm-hmm. and the lights are on, so then the Gentile turns the light off,
right.
That's a direct benefit because...
That's indirect benefit. Right, so it's a little bit tricky. So the poskim distinguished between something that is considered a new creation and not a new, and just a removal of something that was bothering me. So it's considered indirect benefit because did this guy give you something of value? Did this guy give you something new that you didn't have? No, he just removed an impediment. If he removed an impediment, that's considered indirect benefit.
Can you give another example?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know. Turning a flame off.
Yes, you're not benefiting.
Right. If you do it without specifically saying it,
like it's really hot in the kitchen.
And they.
Well, the teenager saying, "I left my flame on." Well,
right? No. You left your flame on. No, that would be inferring then. That would be remiza shelo b'derech tzivoy.
But why? You just said before that you can't say something like, "I can't sleep with the light on."
No, I said you can. You can say that. You can't say I can't turn off the light. But I can say the illumination in the room is really bothering me. It's very light in here. You know, that's something that they're inferring on their own. So, if the fire is bothering you, and you say with a remiza shelo b'derech tzivui that the fire is bothering you, and it's very hot in this kitchen, and they infer on their own to turn it off, then that should be something that
could be.
Right, that's awkward. I'm sorry. You know, once you're going into this parsha, once you're going to say Remiza has a lot of potential. It has a lot of potential, but it could definitely be very awkward. That's 100%. 100%. Yeah.
How does hiring a guy to come after dinner to wash the dishes, clean the table?
So we need to learn a lot more details for that. We didn't learn enough background for that. Yeah. Well, we'll get to there, Mr. Shem. Yeah. Because there you have to deal with them coming, you know, how they're paid, what's the deal, what type of worker they are. We have to get to a lot. What are they going to be involved with? What activities? I mean, you could hire help. They're not going to be involved with any malach.
Just your typical cleaning woman that comes to you on a regular basis, and you have something for
Right. So yeah, there are a few different.
And they already know. They know the malach.
Right.
They know where everything goes.
So if they're doing malacha.
Right.
If they're doing malacha,
exactly.
That's a problem because right. They're doing malacha on your premises.
Right.
And they're doing malacha on your premises as hired help, that could create a maris ayin. Maris ayin means we don't want to create an image, even if I do it in all the correct manners. This is not like a neighbor coming over and taking care of a situation. This is hired help. Most people, when they peek into my windows, whether or not they should be peeking into my windows, but they view this and they're going to assume that I asked them to do a lot of malachos. So that's why when things are done in the home on a regular basis through hired help, it gets a lot more complicated. And in the malacha category, it becomes difficult with a few exceptions, which we have to learn with a few exceptions. But in general, there is a problem with them for you to have hired help, even if they do it in private. The Gemara says anything that's usur for maris ayin, even if they do it in a private room, that's something that's technically still prohibited. Afilu b'chadri chadarim usur, even if it's in the hidden, even if they do it in private, that's something that's prohibited. So, in a general rule, we urge people not to allow the Gentiles to be involved with malacha, with a few exceptions that I need to teach a little bit more background. Basically, if there is a permissible way for them to do it. And what I ask them to do has nothing to do with a specific malacha. I ask them to wash the dishes. Washing the dishes. And I'm going to use these dishes. There's no hachana issue. Whatever it is, I took care of the preparation issue that it's not. I want them to wash the dishes Friday night. I want the dishes Shabbos. Now they have the option of washing with hot water or cold water. But I don't tell them as a rule that they have to wash my dishes with hot water. Frankly, it's their prerogative. They want to make it easier, they turn on the hot water. So if they're deciding on their own to make their life easier in order to use hot water, but technically they could have done the same activity just as well with cold water, might have just taken them longer. They're not chayv to keep Shabbos. That's their prerogative. So if I command them in things that have permissible cases, then that would be permitted. But we'll get there, Mitzvah Shem. Yeah.
In their own room, they can't turn on the light.
No, I don't think turning on and off a light, if it's in their own room, then that's meaning that's the way they're living. That's not Maris Ayin. When I see a guy in their own quarters, yeah. Yeah, I can't stop them from watching television. You know, that's.
But they shouldn't then like cook something for themselves if it's like in the open. Can they do that?
So as long as it seems like
they have like their own pot and they're making themselves.
Okay, so that's really another shear. I you know, if they have their own pot, technically that would be something that's permitted. This is a personal pet peeve of mine. Something that I was passed down by my rebbeim. That you're on a slippery slope when you allow a woman, and I've had cases, it happened in my own kitchen. The second a woman that's a Gentile feels comfortable in the kitchen to use your pots, you will trafe up things, guaranteed. There's no question. Because they're not going to know where to draw the line, and it's going to happen. So, not irrespective of a Shabbos issue, if they have their own kalim and they're doing, just like they can drive a car, you know, that's something that's totally fine, but that has other issues, yeah. Yeah.
So
you could argue with me on the Shalom Zachar. So, well, you know, someone could say that, you know, I could see the food better, you know, I can benefit there. So the answer to that, I think, but you could pass it against me, I hear you.
No, I was going to ask just a follow-up question. What point does the idea of benefiting from Malacha kind of, like, run out? Meaning, like, lunch the next day, can you plot a safer at that point and start reading?
For sure. Excellent. Excellent point. It's only once it was in a scenario that because it was dark outside, I wasn't able to use it. Now, the fact that there's a light on, technically, Shabbos day, and we ate there Shabbos day. Why? Because I didn't even need the light Shabbos day.
Okay.
Or, let's say the following. There's light on. He's turning on the light. But it's clear that it's not only for us. He actually wants to eat there as well. And in order for him to eat, he needs light. So then the Gemara says, Ner Echad, Ner Lameya. When you turn on a candle, you turn on a light, the Gemara says, one candle is the same pool, the same activity for one individual as it is for 100 individuals. So you can't pin this activity of the guy to be specifically for the Jew. He wants to sit here in this room, eat as much as well. My hired help eats with us. They eat with us at the Shabbos table, or we're going to invite them. They say over a story of Chaim Kanievsky that the lights were off, and they invited the Gentile in to get a beer. Come, drink a beer with us. Chaim Kanievsky, come have a beer. The Stipler, come have a beer. So the lights were off. And the Gentile said, you can't have a beer in the dark. So he turns on the light. So he says, so he sits there and he drinks the beer and he turns on the light. Great. And then as he's leaving, he shuts the lights off. So what did they do? They invited him for a second beer. And he came back. And then before he left, they said, no. Just leave, you know. So that's something that's if he did it for himself and he just left, you know, that's something that's totally permitted. However, the Gemara, so anytime you can't pin this on specifically being for the Jews, then it's going to be written. One example is like the case of the Ner. He needs a candle just as much as me. And obviously, we're not asking, do me a favor, read a newspaper in this room so that you could help us out and that now it could be permissible for you. Obviously, we're being honest and, you know, and truthful about this, that this is really something that he needs. And therefore, in a candle, that's not going to be the situation. But if majority of the room is Jews, so then the Gemara says, wait a second. Now it seems to be that it's more for the, and he's not doing it himself, or he, you know, or he's not using it himself, and he walks in, he's hired help, or you have these, a lot of Amir al-Akam issues come up in hotels. You know, half of the shilas come up with hotels, how to get around Amir al-Akam issues with hotels, because you have a whole dining room, and the staff comes in, and they turn on the lights for the Jews there. So that was for sure for the Jew. That was for the Jew there, for them to benefit there. So that would be something that problematically. Mar says, even if it's mechza u mechza, even if it's 50%, 50%, so that's not something that you could say is, you have to be able to say, oh no, that was the Gentile for himself, and that wasn't specifically for the Jews, but that would be something that would still be prohibited. Yeah. Yes. So, can I wait to get to it? It's going to make a difference. Yeah. Owning Shabbos helps in certain scenarios, depending on what the transgression is going to be. I'm just going to say it outside right now because you want an answer, and then I'll quote it later. The Gemara tells us that certain times Amir al-Akam was mutter. The Gemara just says in certain times Amir al-Akam was mutter. So the Rishonim have different ways. The Gemara talks about for a bris mila, they needed to bring the knife, and the Gemara said they had a guy carry it. So all the Rishonim asked, what happened to Amir al-Akam? Gemara says that a guy needed to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara says that he needed to write the shtar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that he got a guy to write the shtar on Shabbos. The Gemara in Gittin says, so again the Rishonim asked, what happened to all what we're talking about, the Amir al-Akam? So the Rishonim develop, and this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that if the whole malacha that the goy is involved with is only in Isser Durabonon, then you have two Durabonons. You have Amir al-Akam, which is only a rabbinic transgression, and the malacha that the goy is going to be involved with is also only rabbinic. So it's called Shvus de Shvus. So you have one rabbinic transgression, which is Amir al-Akam, and another rabbinic transgression, which is whatever you're involved with that is for some way reason was chipped down to be an issue d'rabbanon. In such a scenario, will allow that when for mitzvahs. How do you know that? Because that's what the Gemara said for Mila. That's what the Gemara says for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. There were mitzvahs over here, and the Rambam says that the Gemara was talking about examples where he was carrying in an area that it was only prohibited to carry in the first place on a rabbinic level. It wasn't a biblical Rishus HaRabim. It wasn't something like, the poskim say maybe Brooklyn is a deraisa or is more of a problem or whatever it is. It wasn't an area that you couldn't carry biblically. So the whole issue in the first place was only rabbinic to carry. And now you're going to ask a goy to do it, so that's a double derabanan. Shvus de shvus, b'makom mitzvah is mutter. So what does that mean, b'makom mitzvah? That's the $1 million question. So I know Mila is good. I know Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is good. So says Tosos, that's all you have. That those are the only cases in the Gemara. That's not the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, la'alacha, we paskin makom mitzvah, any mitzvah, a shvus to shvus is mutter if there's a real makom mitzvah. So the post can point out, like Ophira said, that if you have Onik Shabbos, so then if the goy is only going to be involved in a melacha d'rabbanan, in certain situations, for Oneg Shabbos, without this goy, I'm not going to have Oneg Shabbos. So then, I now can ask a goy to do a malacha d'rabbanan. Turning on a light is not a malacha d'rabbanan. That's what we have to learn and classify what's d'oraisa, what's biblical, what's d'rabbanan. Turning on a light might not be d'rabbanan. But there might be d'rabbanans that would be permissible, and when we learn all of their d'rabbanans, that would be a heter. But you also need to classify and qualify what is Oneg Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, a woman who makes 6 kugels, you know, and for her not, oh, I'm having all these guests, and I prepared so many kugels, you have a cholent, you have your chicken, you have your meal, come on, that's not Oneg Shabbos, or that's not impressing the guests. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that's very hard. And he goes through what's Oneg Shabbos, what's not. If you have the basic meal and people are not going to be hungry, but it's not going to be as lavish as it was, that's hard to say that that's basic Oneg Shabbos. Let's remember, this is a permissibility that the Gemara compared to the needs of living in Eretz Yisrael and doing a bris milah, not having an extra kugel. It's very hard to say, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that that's Oneg Shabbos. But if you tell me, Rabbi, I don't have food to serve. These guests are going to be hungry. Or I had all these guests, and now I don't know, the bed is not blown up or whatever it is. So then hachnasas orchim that's a real tzorich mitzvah. So there are tzorich mitzvahs, and there are situations that it would be onik Shabbos, and you would have other hachnasas orchim issues that would be helpful. Yeah.
If all you made for Shabbos was a cholent, like it's just you by yourself, and all you
right. Yeah, so that would be a deraisa, that would be a problem, right. But there might be situations that we could find the permissibility if you put it on another crock pot, if you'd be able to, and it depends if it was pre-cooked or it wasn't cooked, so that would be potentially, that would be a situation where
Oneg Shabbos applies. That's all you made. I have nothing else. But we would have to figure out a way, which is a little complicated, to bring it down to a Durabanan. But the Mishnah Brura suggests if it's just an issue, something's fully cooked, and it's just an issue of putting it back on, or, you know, that would be a situation the Mishnah Brura is more makel. Chazanish was not makel like that, but the Mishnah Brura was more makel about that. Yeah. I'm sorry if it got a little bit, I wasn't expecting to go out of order, but that's, I'm just following your lead. Yeah.
For catering, like if there's a bris on Shabbos and Shul, so all those people who are working the bris, how does that work?
So I would hope that there's a mashgiach that knows how to deal with Amir al-Akam. But I hate to burst your bubble that I've been disappointed. And I've been disappointed in hotels, and I've been disappointed... you know, it's not so simple, and this is a little bit of a meis mitzvah. Right now, we're reviving, halachos that, like I told you the story, the Shabbos goy, that was general practice. That was what was assumed, and I understand it. That's what in you know, but this is what Chazal tell us, and we're going to try to take it to the next level. Yeah, I want to present some real kulas. Yeah, I've been so machmir. Yeah.
Going to the Darabana
thing. Yeah. Shvus to Shvus, what of yours? Yeah.
That was for the hinting also, or hinting?
No. Hinting is Eretz. That's not, it's the rice also, yeah. Yeah.
So if you were able to.
As long as you're not getting a benefit, yeah.
As long as
it's a siluk, a removal of positive benefit. Right, correct. Correct. You got it? This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to build a frame. I'm trying to create what the background is. And then, hopefully, when you have the framework, although it's a lot of different halachos, and again, ask and keep asking, but once you have a framework, then you can start to chip away and start to rationalize when yes, when not. That's what we're, yeah.
One more question. With turning on a light on Shabbos,
yeah.
Would it be an indirect benefit if you moved into another room, but you could still get light from that other room where the light is turned on?
And now you're doing something, you're reading a book in the hallway.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't be okay.
That's not okay.
You're now able to do something that you wouldn't be able to do without them. That's Hana.
Let's say it's just a little more clear, but you could technically read it.
So if you were able to do excellent.
If there's a nightlight in the hallway.
If you were able to do, the Gemara talks about that, if you were able to do technically what you did beforehand and they just made it easier, then that's not Hana. That's good. Then you're okay. That's the Nerech. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah. Okay. So that, I don't remember if I covered all the dimensions of Hana because I don't remember where I got. Yeah.
Sorry, just one last question. So at the end of the day.
You have to apologize. I have no idea where I'm up to.
If you have a shvus b'shvus b'makom mitzvah.
Yeah.
And you're not saying it directly to the guy.
Yeah. Shvus to shvus, no, shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah would be mutter even to say directly.
Oh,
it's a new heter.
Okay.
See, I'll tell you, the way I arranged it in my head was I was going to go through all what's prohibited, and then I was going to come, because I wanted to leave this shul saying what's all what's permitted, and then I'm going to go, everyone forgets what's usher, and then I just came out with kulas. So, all remiza, and that's if you're dealing directly with the malacha. If you're in a situation of a makom mitzvah, and again, you have to figure out whether it's a makom mitzvah, and we didn't get to other scenarios where not necessarily makom mitzvah, but, and I could keep going, but I don't want to keep you guys all night. So I want to just end with one more kula, and we'll try to go over and try to restructure, because it is complicated. But again, just to speak about what Ophir asked, shvus to shvus makom mitzvah means I'm asking directly, and the guy is doing something that's only prohibited drabanan, that is mutter because there's a tzorach mitzvah here. And sometimes that tzorach mitzvah could even be not as mechudosh as being a bris mila. It's not necessarily that we're having, you know, shiluach hakan over here that we have, or the blow shofar. No, I need oneg Shabbos, and I don't have food otherwise, and I need this person to do it. As long as he's only transgressing a drabanan, that would be something that's permitted to even say outright. You just have to check. Number one, what's only Durabonon? And number two, is this a Makom Mitzvah? Is this Oneg Shabbos? But this is the best kula that I love in Amir La'akum. And this helps in a lot of situations. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says the following scenario. The Ramah says that the guy put some food that was cooked already, but is now going to be reheated, on top of the oven. On top of the oven. Yeah, that was what he did.
So then the Gemara says, then the Rama says, it got very cold in the house, and the guy wanted to turn on the oven to heat the house. So you'll ask me, wait, why is that permitted? Why is that something that's allowed? So we haven't gotten to that. But the Rama in somewhere else says that when you're dealing with cold, and this is fascinating, think about when the Rama lived, that they didn't have heaters. So the Rama says, Hakol cholin etzel tzina. When it comes to the issue of cold weather, the Rama says, it's automatically as if you have a chola in your house, and then the halachos of Amir la'akum are suspended. If you, unfortunately, even if it's not a chola sheyesh bo sakana, if it's a chola sheyesh bo sakana, person's in a life-threatening situation, forget Amir la'akum, you're allowed to do pikuach nefesh. Avadi, you're allowed to do Amir la'akum. The Gemara tells us if you have a chola she'ein bo sakana, what does that mean, a chola she'ein bo sakana? Person who's not functioning normally. I can't be at the Shabbos table. I have a migraine. I can't function normally. I can't speak to people normally. I have the flu. Situations that you're going to come out of, that you don't even need necessarily medication. They're temporary situations. Says the Gemara, there is no issue of Amir La'akim when it comes to that. Fine. So the Gemara says, so that's what the Rama says. So the Rama says, when it's cold in the house, so then he was allowed to heat up the house because these people were going to get sick. Fine. But the Magen Avraham asked, but wait a second. But what about the food? The food that got heated up. Okay, that wasn't what he was trying to do. He was trying to create heat in the house, but ultimately the food got hit. Says the Magen Avraham, listen to the following Pesach of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that if the kavana of the guy was to do action A, and then inevitably action B was created, that is something that Amira La'akum does not apply to. Now think about this. This is what's called on Shabbos a Dover She'enu Miskavin. The Gemara talks about I'm dragging a bench, and then a ditch is created. So the Gemara says, if it's inevitable, you're on type of soil, that it's inevitable that a ditch will be created when you drag the bench, Mar says you're not allowed to do that. Because you're going to do a malach of harisha, of digging, by dragging a bench. Even though my kavana is just to drag a bench. I just need the bench by the other side of the backyard where my wife wants me to put the bench. Says the Gemara, but you're going to dig a ditch. That's considered a psik resha. That's an inevitable outcome. If it's an inevitable outcome, it's automatically going to happen. That's going to be something that's going to be prohibited. Comes along the Magen Avraham and says, Amira la'akum was never said by a psik resha. And here you're going to have a lot of ramifications, situations where this is going to create permissibility. If a guy is trying to do action X, he's trying to drag a bench, and then it's inevitable that a ditch is going to be dug by dragging the bench, that's not something that's prohibited through Amir La'akum. Let me tell you the following scenario. I left the light on in my fridge. I am not allowed to open the fridge. I have to put tape on top of that little switch that gets turned on and off, or I have to unscrew the bolt. But most of the time, the husband is the one who's responsible to tape up the switch and to unscrew the bolt. So what's a psik resha in every Shabbos home is that the light will be left for Shabbos because the husband is the one who's responsible for that. So now you have the issue. I can't open the door of my fridge. Okay, but it's pikuach nefesh. My wife's not going to have anything to serve. No, so the Rama says, ask a guy to open the door. What does that mean? It's inevitable that a light bulb is going to turn on. That's a malacha de oraisa. That's not even a shvus de shvus territory. That's not even rabbinic. There's a light bulb that's turning on over here. How is the guy allowed to open the fridge? Says the Magen Avraham, what's the guy trying to do over here? He's trying to drag a bench. He's not trying to dig a ditch. It's an inevitable outcome that the ditch will be dug. If it's an inevitable outcome, it's only a psik resha, but your kavana is just to open the door of a fridge, then that is something that's absolutely permitted. There is no iser amir la'akum unless I'm giving him shlichus, I'm asking him to do specifically the malacha that I instructed. Turn on the light. Or it's a shame that I can't turn on the light. That now I'm asking him to turn on the light. Or to now... To build a house, whatever it is, or to heat up this. But if I'm asking him to do something that's permissible,
And it's inevitable, it's a psik resha, that there will be a malacha done that is permitted. So that's something that could be very helpful on Shabbos. Let's say I forgot something in the car. I forgot food in the car. And I can't open the door of the car. Why can't I open the door of the car? Because the light turns on. Because it's a psik resha. Even though my kavana is just to open the door and just to get something out, but if I'm going to turn on a light, that's also something that I have to take into account. My kavana is to drag the bench, but if there's going to be an automatic ditch, that's going to be a problem. So if my kavana is to open the door, but it's automatic, that there's going to be a light on, which if anyone has a minivan, I'm telling you a suggestion, keep that switch off. It's so helpful. The light switch. Number one, your car battery is not going to die because your kids are going to turn the lights on and it's going to be left on and you're not going to know about it. In the back row, they're going to turn the lights on and it's going to be dead by the next morning. So keep that light switch off, the manual switch, because now on Shabbos, you'll potentially, we'll have to learn a few muktzah shailas, but potentially we'll be able to go in and not have to deal with the issue of the lights of the door. So that's, but most of us don't have that, or if you don't have a minivan, then you don't have that permissibility. So what do I do? I ask the guy, do me a favor, go into the car. Open the door. So what's he planning? He's not planning on doing a malacha. He's planning on opening a door. It's a psik resha that the light will turn on. Psik resha doesn't apply to Amir al-Akum. So anytime I'm asking the Gentile to do something that technically is permissible on its own, but it's just an inevitable outcome that what will be created is a malacha that was not linked to Amir al-Akum and that was not something that's prohibited under Amir al-Akum. Or let's take the example we spoke about before. Turning on the hot water. Right? What's the issue with turning on the hot water? Another reason why them washing with turning on the hot water, according to some poskim, is permitted. Because there's no malacha directly that's happening when I turn on the hot water. I'm planning on turning on the hot water. What happens? It's an inevitable outcome that now more water in the boiler is going to get cooked up because I'm using the water that was right here in the pipes that is now coming out to be used. That's a psik resha. That's a psik resha. That's something that Amir al-Akam was never applied to. So that's another additional reason, and all these are examples that are very helpful, but because we paskin halacha, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that Amir al-Akam was never said by a psik resha, by an inevitable outcome. Amir al-Akam was only, please do such and such malacha for me. That will be a reason why this will be prohibited. I'm really sorry I went way over time. I really did not intend to do this. I intended to be over at 8:45, but I also I didn't think that all the questions would be in the middle, but it was great. Yashar koyach to all of you, and keep up the good work.